Okay, I have to be honest with you, because we're friends, right? We're friends who meet at the table each week for coffee. So I have to be honest, guys. This is attempt number three at recording this opening, and I think part of the reason I'm doing so terribly is I'm trying to bring a level of energy that I just don't have right now. If I can be just straight with you, 100%, I'm tired. I'm in the process of finishing out my last week at my current job, getting ready to start my new job, which we'll be talking about in my next podcast episode on next week. And I'm super excited about it, but it just means that life is a little intense right now. And it means that my apartment is a mess, and it means that I am drinking too much coffee, which was already a problem, but now it's even more of a problem. And just, man, here we are, you know? Like, here we are, gang. Who would have thought we'd be here, right? But I can't wait to tell you all about the new opportunity and my life change next week. But let's focus on this week right now, because this week we're going to have a great conversation with my friend Christy, who is debt-free by 23 years old. And just looking at my podcast analytics and seeing that a lot of the people who follow this podcast are in, man, their mid, late 20s, like, man, I think this is a timely message for all of us, because I think it's super easy to get on our student loan debt thing and see how much we owe and like be freaked out by that number. But I hope there's some hope for you in this conversation that financial freedom is attainable, that you can pursue financial freedom, and that student loan and credit card debt or whatever else doesn't have to hold you back in life. And it is something that even like, man, if you make a mistake and you get credit card debt, if you make a mistake and you go in way over your head with loans or something like that, guys, there is hope. Like, there is hope that there is freedom on the other side of that. And that's what I hope you get from this podcast today. And so, yeah, we're going to dump right into it, because I don't think I can talk any longer. But before we jump into it, as always, friends, if you're on iTunes, hit us with that rate and subscribe. Please leave a review. It really does mean the world and helps the podcast out. If you're on Spotify, just hit that follow button. Or if you're on YouTube, like and subscribe, man. Let's go. We're at 21 subscribers on the YouTube channel, gang. I am super happy about that. We've hit over 20 hours of watch time. Guys, oh my word. If you could just keep following the YouTube channel, that'd be awesome. Some new videos will be coming out later on in the year that I'm pretty excited about, that I'm working on. So, man, all that to be said, all that to be said, I'm super excited for this episode. And I just want you guys to know I love y'all dearly. And yeah, I'm pumped and I'm tired. And I'm going to go to bed right after I upload this. And so let's jump into the Coffee with Graph podcast before I talk myself into a bigger hole with my friend, Christy.
Welcome to Coffee with Craft.
Well, hey, Christy, how you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm living the dream, kind of. It's been a Monday. I was driving down the road today, and my car, the passenger side mirror, clipped a trash can that was too far onto the curb. Like, it was like over the curb, and I didn't realize it while I was driving, and so my mirror, it totally like cracked.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry to hear that. What a rough Monday.
It was a day. And so luckily it's only a $30 fix. It's not that big of a deal, but such is life on that one. At least it's not like, a couple $100 fix or anything like that. But speaking of money, Christy, today you're on the show because you are a nifty little person who is debt-free by 23. Is that the Instagram handle?
That is the Instagram handle. Well, it's debt-free at 23.
Debt-free at 23, which is crazy in and of itself. And your story is super cool. And I've known you since we were children. We went to church together. And now we're both adults. And I kind of know you a little bit, but I could use a refresher course. And I'm sure there are plenty of people at the table today who maybe don't know a lot about you. And so go ahead and share, who is Christy?
Yeah, so as you said, I'm now 24. I'm actually almost 25, which seems a little crazy. I paid off all my debt at the age of 23, and I run an Instagram page that's called Debt Free at 23, just where I share about my financial journey, how I paid off the debt, what my plans are, and how I try to use my financial life to honor God. That being said, I'm also a Christ follower. I go to Lifehouse Church in Beaver Creek, but funny enough, I was listening to one of your podcasts and heard that you went to Southbrook, which I went to Southbrook from like sixth grade till about 6 months ago.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. We never ran into each other, which is kind of crazy, but big place, so I'm not too surprised.
Right.
But also, I am a dog mom. I have a little puppy named Gemma. She's not a puppy and not little, but that's okay. She's my baby. She's my 60-pound baby. Also, for 40 hours a week, I'm also a registered nurse, and I work in oncology.
Oh, wow. Awesome. And what is oncology? Because I know nothing about doctor stuff.
Yeah, so oncology is cancer, so I work in an outpatient cancer center.
Okay, very cool. That's awesome. Super good stuff. And so you were debt-free at 23 years old. How much debt did you initially pay off?
So I had $20,000 worth of debt coming out of college. Okay. I had about $14,000 in student loans and $6,000 left on a car loan.
Okay.
So, wow.
Yeah, that's a decent amount. And you got all that paid off. How old were you when you graduated college?
I was 22 when I graduated.
So you paid off $23,000 in a year.
Yep. So in 12 months, I got all my debt paid off.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to like get rid of that quick. So walk us through that. What was like the catalyst of like starting your debt-free journey right out of college?
So funny enough, which I was actually talking about this with one of my coworkers today, and we had like totally different experiences with this, but I got my first paycheck as a nurse and was literally like flabbergasted. Like I was like, I don't think I've ever had this much money in my bank account, like in my life. And that was just like one paycheck.
Yeah.
And so it kind of like freaked me out in the sense that I was like, I need to figure out what to do with this. Like, I don't want to just let it sit here. And I felt like I was just wasting it. So that kind of like triggered it. And then I actually bought a house a couple months after I graduated and realized that like if there was an emergency or if I needed something big, like I had no plan. I had no idea what I was doing with my money. Mm. So all of that combined, I like started looking into ways like how to be financially wise and really just prayed for wisdom on that. And through that, it was revealed to me the Dave Ramsey plan. And that's kind of how I went about paying off my debt.
Gotcha. And so what is the Dave Ramsey plan for people who maybe don't know that?
Yeah. So Dave Ramsey has 7 baby steps that he recommends that people follow, or at least like loosely gives a guideline for how to live a financially free life. And the first one is to save up $1,000 emergency fund. And the second one is to pay off all your debts. And he gives a system for doing that where it's called the snowball method. You start with your smallest debt and use any extra money to pay that off. And then use the minimum payment you were making on that to put towards your next largest debt. And you just keep going until you pay all your debts off.
Oh, wow. Awesome. So you did this whole debt-free journey and getting your first paycheck as like a real adult with a real job was the catalyst for all of that. What was your struggle throughout that? Like, was there any like a huge struggle or burden that you faced like in the process of that? Were there days where like how you thought maybe how can I overcome this debt or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's definitely a daunting challenge. Like when I actually sat down and like realized like what I made, what I owed, like my monthly expenses, like that's a big undertaking, to do, especially when you don't really know that much about like finances and financial things. But also like FOMO is real, like having to say no to things and like not hanging out with my friends and not doing things that like I otherwise would have just agreed to automatically. That's like hard. And that was a decision I had to make almost every single day of just like skipping things like, or sacrificing things with the bigger picture in mind.
Yeah. So that fear of missing out of what your friends are doing so that you could accomplish the goals that you wanted to achieve. Was it always black and white in your journey? This is something I'm super curious about, anyone who's ever walked through a debt-free journey. Was it always black and white? Like, was it always like really easy just to say no all the time? Or were there days where you maybe quote unquote cheated and went out with friends?
Oh yeah. So it was definitely not always black and white. And there were days that I literally was just like, you know what? It's not worth it. I'll live like everybody else. That's fine. I don't need to do this. Yeah. I want to go to dinner with my friends. Like that definitely happened. But then, you know, you realize you take a step back and realize what you're actually working towards and the progress you've made. And that really helps.
Gotcha. So definitely your drive seemed to be the biggest factor in you accomplishing how much debt you eliminated in a year. Because I'm sure there are people out there who would say it's crazy to live like that just to get all that debt gone mm-hmm. in a year. Because, you know, $23,000 isn't a ton of money, right? Like, that's the kind of the like thing people will start to say. Uh-huh. But in reality, it is a lot of money. And so you have all the stuff that comes with that. And so it's super interesting. What has been maybe the most rewarding thing about your debt-free journey?
There are definitely a lot of things that ended up being rewarding, especially a lot of unexpected things. So one thing that I really got out of it was like a sense of peace. And that's something I like wasn't expecting, but like, I know where my money goes. I now have like a 6-month emergency fund saved up. I just have these measures in place for like financial security, and paying off my debt was definitely like the biggest step in accomplishing that. And just like that overwhelming peace when it comes to finances, I just is so unbelievably rewarding.
Awesome. So peace when it comes to finances, what else?
So I will also say, like, through that, I feel like God revealed to me a lot of things. That my spiritual journey that I took through my debt-free journey was something that I never expected. And, I think it just shows another way that God like uses our lives as a story for him. But it was just an act of surrender and like learning to surrender everything to God, including my finances. Like, I can't sit here and say that I'm gonna like offer him my life and my heart and then hold on to this one thing that just means so much to me, and like almost as an act of mistrust in who he is and what he's doing.
Man, that's really good. So finances are always, it's a tricky topic, right? Mm-hmm. And every time people start talking about it, it feels like a wall goes up or mm-hmm. a guard goes up. It feels like money is maybe one of the like last taboo topics in our world today. Like, I'll talk to you about anything and everything in my life except my finances. Why do you think people are so walled up when it comes to their finances?
Well, I think part of it's ingrained just the culture that we're in. And I know like more in our parents' generation and above, it was such a taboo thing, like you said, to even like mention it. But I think also sometimes people are just like scared. They're set in their ways. They're set in the way they want to spend their money and their financial decisions. And they don't want to hear that they're wrong, and they don't want to hear that what they're doing maybe isn't the wisest thing and isn't setting them up for success in the future. And I mean, all my friends know at this point, it's a very common topic of discussion around me, and it's not in a judgmental or anything way. And I'm not trying to tell anybody how to spend their money or that I spend my money wiser than anyone else. I just think that it's something that does need discussed. And I don't know about you, but I didn't learn about finances in like high school or college. So how else are we going to learn about it if we don't talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where I took a personal finance class in college mm-hmm. that counted as my science credit, nonetheless.
Okay.
It's a really funny story how I made that happen. It was my senior year of graduates or of regular school and so or college. And so senior year of college, I'm there and it's my last semester, and they literally, the one science class that I could take, they cut. And so I had to go to like 3 different deans to try and figure out what to do for me to graduate on time. And one of the deans, God bless his soul, was just like, I'm going to figure out how to make this math credit count for you. And he got this math credit to count as a science credit, and I graduated.
Oh, so, my word.
I know. It was amazing. And I took a personal finance class with where all the answers were online, and it was super easy to find. It was an online class. I aced that thing. It's one of those things. It's funny. I took a class on it, but I still feel like I don't know as much as I would hope about personal finance or managing money well, you know? And it's one thing to listen to Dave Ramsey or watch a YouTuber, because there's tons of them out there who will talk about how you should spend your money, what's it look like to invest, and all that kind of crazy stuff. But actually applying it to your everyday life is even harder. So what are some tips that maybe you have for applying personal finance to your everyday life and actually keeping track of your money?
Yeah, so it's definitely like a decision you make almost every day where, because like you can wake up every day and go get a credit card and spend $10,000. I mean, if you really want to.
This is true.
Yeah, which is also crazy that we live in a world that that's possible, but that's a story for another time, I guess. But you have to make that decision every day of like where your priorities lie and just keeping that in mind. Like in how you spend your money is definitely a good representation of like where your heart lies and what matters to you. So I think keeping just the big picture in mind helps get through the day-to-day struggle, because it is easy to see all these people like telling you how you like you should invest in all of this or you should save all of this, but finding out what's actually important to you and what works for you and your lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have this Instagram account, Debt Free at 23, right?
Yep.
Awesome. And so how big is your following over there now? I forgot to check before we hopped on here.
Let me look.
Okay.
I have almost 1,700 followers.
1,700 followers. And so you've built this very interesting, kind of tight-knit community over there. I watch your Instagram stories and I watch the comments all the time of people interacting with you and stuff like that. What has been maybe the most eye-opening thing since starting that Instagram account and talking about your debt-free journey? And what was the thing that you maybe least expected?
So a very eye-opening thing was just about how many young people reached out to me, and they were just like, I thought I was the only person like our age that cared about stuff like this or that was working towards a goal, or like you inspired me that it's possible. Because I get people all the time that are just like, well, you didn't have as much student loans as me, or, you know, you don't have as high of interest rates as I did. And like try to make excuses to justify why they can't achieve like what I achieved. So those things have been super eye-opening. What was the second part of the question?
Yeah. And maybe what was the thing that was eye-opening? And then what's the thing, let me rephrase it. What's the thing maybe you've most enjoyed about running that Instagram account?
I honestly enjoy everything about it. I do it solely for fun. And it's just the debt-free community on Instagram. If you are interested in personal finance at all, like regardless if you believe in Dave Ramsey plan or anything, I highly recommend you follow the hashtag debt-free community on Instagram, because it is one, it's such a supportive community. Like the people on there are constantly reaching out, constantly cheering each other on. And two, you just get to see like how everyday people are achieving these huge financial milestones that I would have never thought would be possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And so whenever someone looks at a huge number, right, like $23,000 like you had, mm-hmm. And it feels daunting, right? What would you say to the person who maybe sees that how big their debt is and is nervous about tackling and feels like it's a mountain they'll never overcome?
Yeah. So first I would definitely recommend that somebody with a mountain of debt breaks it down into all the individual debts. So even if that's all student loans, looking at all of the individual lenders and then breaking it down even further into each of the loans. I know I had one lender, but had four loans, and looking at those numbers is such a more feasible target if you're aiming at it. Like if it's $1,500 instead of, I don't know, like $15,000, you that is something tangible that you can achieve, and you can usually achieve it pretty quickly. And once you knock that out, that momentum that you get and almost like the high that you get from paying that off and no longer having to pay interest on that is just a really good motivation to keep going into. And before you know it, you'll have like half of that large number paid off.
Gotcha. So it's all about breaking it down, making it smaller, and kind of just figuring it out along the way. It's kind of what I'm picking up from this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't necessarily, when I first started paying off my debt, I don't even know if I had the full intention of paying off all of it. I knew I wanted to pay off my car for sure. And then I was just going to like put a little extra here and there to my student loans. But as I started like knocking out these debts, it was almost like an addicting feeling of just wanting to like keep going. And I was seeing how much extra money I had in my bank account every month from not having to pay minimum payments.
Yeah. And I don't think people realize how much money that could be freed up if they weren't having to deal with minimum payments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's one thing to be like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's $50 a month. But then if you have four credit cards that each have $50 a month, right? that's $200 right there. That's going to minimum payment and maybe isn't paying off an actual debt. And so, man, just stuff like that that I don't think people realize. And that's $200 that you could be using for something else that maybe you actually really enjoy, or to like be saving up for an emergency on a rainy day instead of just throwing it on your credit card. So yeah, that I don't think people think about the minimum payment thing a ton.
Yeah. And with like minimum payments, especially for credit cards, they're usually hardly even covering like the interest. So you're going to be paying on that like what feels like forever. And so that's just a super frustrating, I think, cycle that a lot of people get into also, where then it makes them feel like they're in a hole and just can't get out of it because they're hardly making like the minimum payments for all of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's say someone wants to start their debt-free journey and they've been breaking it down. They're getting, you know, the loans figured out. They're figuring out maybe how much they own a credit card. They're figuring out what their smallest debt is, all that kind of fun stuff. They're working through the process. Okay. What's your biggest piece of advice for somebody who is just getting started in their debt-free journey?
My hands down biggest piece of advice for somebody who's just getting started or who's even just curious about like a different financial setting that they could put themselves in is definitely learning how to create a budget that works for you and allows you to live your life. If you put these like super narrow restrictions on what you can and can't spend your money on, you're never going to get anywhere with like any financial goal because you're just going to get super frustrated. And so learning how to make that budget is huge.
Budget, budget, budget. I hear a lot of advice on that. I think a lot of people I talk to who are maybe always hesitant towards the Dave Ramsey plan is that he really does. He has like this ferocity that he wants people to chase after debt with, you know, to see stuff paid off within a year. Right. But in reality too, right. Not everybody is in the same stage of life. Right. Like your story is one of very fortunate, right? Like you were a nurse which is a high paying job. In a field where like you were very fortunate enough, you only had about $20,000 in debt and you had this opportunity where it's like, okay, I could really tackle this within a year feasibly. Right. But there may be a listener right now who's listening with like two or three kids, right. Who their story isn't the same as yours. And that's why I love that idea of budgeting, right? Because you have to first realize, hey, my journey is not going to look like everybody else's. Right. Yeah. Like, it's definitely not. Every person has a different journey. Every person has a different story. And my life circumstances may be different. But if I want to tackle this thing and I want to become debt free, it starts with taking the right steps. And it starts with really choosing how to healthily spend my money and have a healthy view of money.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good right there, because it's not even... like the circumstance you're in, it might not even be a realistic goal that you need to pay off your debt right now. When you, like you said, you could be with like a family with two kids just trying to make it by, and it could just be that you're trying to get caught up on your bills. And really creating that budget and that financial like floor plan that's going to work for you and your situation just really helps you take control of that and get your financial life on track with your goals.
Right. I think one of my favorite books of all time, it's a book by a guy named John Acuff. It's called Finish. It's all about tackling your goals. And one of John's biggest assertion is that too often people create big goals in their head. Mm-hmm. And the reason they never accomplish their goals is because they get into the process of it and the goal was too big to accomplish in the time frame that they set. So maybe somebody does have $20,000 in debt who's listening to this right now, but paying that off in a year might not be feasible for you. Mm-hmm. Right? So what's it look like to extend that goal, or what's it look like to cut your goal into smaller sections and say, hey, by the end of 2020, I want to pay off $5,000 in extra debt. That's what I want to do. Right? Like that's way easier. And that's a way different number than saying I'm going to pay off $20,000 in the last 4 or 5 months of this year, you know? And so I think the way we approach debt and the way we approach money also has to come from a realistic expectation of like how we actually approach our goals in our everyday life.
Yeah, absolutely. That is also a huge part, is just you have to be able to achieve whatever you set out for. You know, you have to be able to achieve that. So if that does mean breaking it down and making it into like bite-sized pieces, then that's what it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's no wrong or right way to do it. You really, at the end of the day, just have to do what's best for you and your future and what's going to work for your life.
Absolutely. Okay. So we talked a lot about paying off debt. We've talked a lot about starting your debt-free journey. You're in a different part of your debt-free journey now where you're working on paying off your mortgage. Yeah. If I saw correctly online, how has that been? Cause I'm sure that is intense.
Yeah, this was more than I bargained for. That's for sure. and this is about every month when I go to mail in that check to the mortgage lender, I'm like, I could use this for so many other things. Maybe I should not continue doing this, but here I am. So I actually, after I paid off my debt, then I saved up a 6-month emergency fund and then I started investing, and now I am using the extra money I have each month, which I will say is a much smaller amount than it was when I was paying off my debt so aggressively. And I make extra mortgage payments with that. So my goal is to have my house paid off by the time I'm 30. I don't know if we will get there, but that is the goal. that's a long-term goal there. So we'll see what the next few years have in store for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause that's a huge goal in and of itself. Like most people like don't ever think about paying off their house. They're just like, I'm going to sell it one day. And so that's crazy. Like in your head that you're just like, you're going after it with like such ferocity. Like that truly is insane. But it's really cool. And I think it's a testament to like how much you really do buy into wanting financial freedom and truly owning the things you have. Because so many people don't realize like how much of their stuff they don't really own, right? Like if you're paying on your car, you don't truly own that, the bank does, right? You don't truly own your house, the bank does. And so you don't truly own stuff in your apartment, the credit card company does, right? Like the analogy goes on and on and on. And so do you want to truly own the stuff you have, or do you want to be a slave to the people you have to pay each month, you know? And that's a scriptural principle too, in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm. Like a borrower is slave to the lender. And so, breaking free of that is so important.
Yeah. I will say too, at first when I set off to pay off my debt, I didn't really think I was ever going to pay off my mortgage. I just didn't think that was something I'm interested in, because like the house I'm at now, I'm sure I won't be at forever. So I was like, this doesn't really make that much sense. But it just came back to that, like surrendering my financial life to God and just letting him flourish in that and letting him do with me through my financial life, whatever like he wanted to do. And it was something that I felt I was really, I don't want to say called, but like pushed in the spirit to use my extra money at this season in my life to put towards my mortgage so that I owe less money to the bank at the end of the day and own more of my house.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Christy, is there anything else that you want to share with the audience today about becoming debt-free and really accomplishing their financial goals?
I will say, no matter what goals you're working towards, like financially, it's just so good to keep in perspective to not let your money rule your life. Even if you are like $70,000 in debt right now or debt-free, mortgage-free, living the dream, it is a never a good place to be in to let money be the center of your life and to be the thing that your soul focuses on.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, right, like we can let even the idea of budgeting and getting debt free become an idol or become the main focus in our life that we miss out on the bigger picture of stuff going on around us.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, that was something I had to remind myself of time and time again, especially when I was being more intense about paying off my debt, about not missing out in life just because I'm sacrificing in this season. Like I can still work towards my goals and still keep relationships with my friends by going out to eat with them and not having to cancel all my plans with everybody and just keeping my focus on like really aligned on what it should be and not just on my financial goals.
Absolutely. Because in my opinion, financial health is a much bigger piece, is a piece of a much bigger pie, in that we should be pursuing holistic health, right? And so we have to be healthy both in our finances, our spirituality, our education, our relationships with other people, all that kind of stuff, right? And if we let one piece dominate, we're missing out on so much more that God has to offer us in our lives.
That's good. That's good right there. That's exactly right.
Awesome. Well, hey, Christy, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. If people want to track you down, what is your Instagram handle one more time?
Debt-free at 23.
Debt-free at 23.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. So guys, be sure to go and follow Christy. Let her know you heard her on the podcast, all that fun stuff. And other than that, my friends, thank you once again for having a seat and joining us here at the table. I'll see you next week on the Coffee with Craft podcast.